Today's episode of Clearview Today and today's secret word is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. Unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu's Ultra Pure filtration system provides water that's free from contaminants and infused with only the essentials that your body needs. Make the smart choice today and experience the difference of Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. You can order online at Le Bleu, that's LEBLEU.com. And when you check out, use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, to get 10% off your next order. It'll save you money and it supports us here at the Clearview Today Show.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, a daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. What are you doing?
I'm getting like comfortable like you. Like you've got the kind of like disheveled after work look. So I took my jacket off. I took the tie off.
I'm disheveled after work.
Yeah, it's like you come home and you're like
roll up your sleeves in a board meeting.
No. You've got the like you come home and you're like, oh honey, what a day. And she's like, can I get you anything? You're like, can I have just 5 minutes to myself? That's the kind of look, like the kind of vibe you got going on. And like you're doing the taxes for whatever reason. You just like punch the table. This went to a really dark place.
Go with
place.
The intro.
Should we start over?
Go with the intro really before I get sad.
Should we start over? I'm going to keep going. What is my line? We want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. Link in the description below. There's nothing funny about marital fight.
Because if apparently you don't, I'm going to have an argument with my wife.
There's nothing funny about a marital dispute.
That went to a strange place.
Read the verse of the day.
Let's correct ourselves with the verse of the word of the Lord. The verse of the day today comes to us from Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
I love that the idea of like the righteous, you see it from faith to faith to faith. It means generation after generation after generation, you see this line of righteousness that God has all throughout history. And I think it's really cool because when it says the just shall live by faith, it's almost like it's too good to be true. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people...
Don't I got to do something? I got to cross something off a checklist somewhere.
And also it's weird because I think people... Number one, it's too good.
Yeah.
But then they also don't want other people one of the ones I've always heard is like, well, what about people who do really bad things in this world? And if they can just believe and they just are justified, they're righteous. I was like, yes. That's what the Bible says. That's great.
That's correct.
That's such a highlight of sin is that my sin is not like, I mean, it's lesser. Don't get me wrong. It's not as bad as someone else's sin. At the same time, it's still sin. It's going to keep me from God's presence.
Right.
And so I think it's a really good reminder that the just live by their faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Faith justifies us in a way that our works never could.
That's right.
Because it's not about us. It's not about what we bring to the table. If you are the best person, the best, most moral, most upstanding, upright person on the face of this globe, you still would not be good enough to get into heaven.
That's right.
Which is why Jesus came to die for us.
That's right. And it also gives, it takes a lot of pressure off because at the end of the day, I don't want to have to like be standing before Jesus and he says, all right, why should I let you into my kingdom? And me be like, all right, let me think. I did this.
Hold on, let me pull up my spreadsheet.
It's kind of like doing your taxes. Like, does this count? Can I write this one? Okay, I can't write that one off. Okay, but this one right here, I did this when I was 15. I did this when I was 16.
Yeah.
It's much better to say I've trusted in you, I've believed in you, and I've lived my life by faith.
That's right.
I know I asked you this yesterday, but...
Did I?
Oh, my goodness. Judging from the intro, I'm going to say yes.
I sure did. This is Did I Do That? This is the segment of our show where we tell you about some embarrassing, cringeworthy, or just really dumb stuff that we have done in our lives. And I definitely did something dumb last night.
Last night? This is recent.
Last night. Like this was, last night after we got done recording the show. We went home. Gavin is getting really into video games. We've talked about this on the show. He's my oldest. He's 4 years old. I let him play Lego Marvel Super Heroes with
him. Great game.
I wanted to play Lego Star Wars. I had to install it. It's like a 95 gigabyte game. It's huge. So I was like, okay, this is going to install all night. Why don't you and me play Lego Marvel Superheroes? We got into it.
My boys love that.
No, it's a fun game. We were doing free play, just roaming around New York City, just causing chaos.
Yeah.
It was so fun. We were finding characters. I was like, let's go unlock this character. And we would go solve the little puzzle. Then he would be him. And Gavin is in that stage where it's like, I just want to be whoever you are, or I want you to be who I am. So it was like, I was Spider-Man, and he was like, I want to be Spider-Man too. I was like, all right, cool. You be Spider-Man, I'll be Venom. And then we can be like mirror images of each other. We can be, he was like, okay, cool. So I would, he would do it. And then I would change to Venom. He'd be like, I want to be Venom too. So I was like, all right, you be Venom, I'll be Green Goblin, and we can have like a Spider-Man thing going on. Yeah. So we would play for like 30 seconds. He was like, I want to be Green Goblin too. Can you change me to Green Goblin? So that was like the whole night. So we finally got to a place where it's like, all right, no more changing characters. You be Venom, I'm going to be Hulk. So we were like just destroying cars.
Right.
It was so fun. It got to the point where he was laughing so hard that he couldn't breathe. So we had to, be like, hey, breathe, breathe, breathe. And he was like... Daddy, you smashed that car on the Lego guy. And it was a ton of fun. The bedtime timer went off.
Oh, no.
And I made the critical error. I did not wind the fun down. I just stopped it cold turkey.
No.
It was bad.
You can't unplug the fun.
No, it was bad.
Oh,
I learned.
No.
I wasn't thinking. And it wasn't like I suddenly turned serious. I was like, oh, that's the bedtime
part.
And he was like,
turn the Xbox off.
He was like, no, just a little bit more. And I was like, nah, buddy, it's bedtime. And I turned the Xbox off. Freak out.
Oh,
Gavin freaked out.
Yep.
Like fell to pieces. And Ellie came running out of the room. Ellie was working late. She was like, what is wrong? I was like, I cut the Xbox off. And he was like, I don't want to go now. And it was crazy because I also saw that a toddler's emotions will go from like 100 to negative 100 just like that.
Absolutely.
There was no like bargaining. There was no like gradual. It was just the most fun he's ever had till like my life is over.
100%. Yeah. He's still in that stage where he's learning the emotional regulation. So you cutting that game off was just like, you have unplugged my life support. My life is over now.
Did you ever hard stop the fun? Did you ever unplug the fun?
I have done that a few times and only a few times because I only made that mistake once or twice.
Was it because things got serious or was like, okay, it's just time to stop? Like, you know,
I don't know that I remember. I feel like there were some times where things got serious, but maybe more often than not, it was just, hey, it's time to stop now.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like the bedtime. We have a bedtime timer.
Really, I'll tell you what it is. It probably was, hey, it's time for bed in 5 minutes. Hey, it's time for bed in 3 minutes. Uh-huh. Hey, it's time for bed now. Hey, I've already reminded you it's time for bed.
Yeah.
Now, okay, click, hard stop. Now we're all having a meltdown.
But see, I see those warnings, those gradual warnings. I don't think that's unplugging the fun. I think that's like what I should have been doing.
Yeah, you got to be a little more forceful than I was, though. Instead of just like, hey, everyone, update, bedtime in 5 minutes.
Like, okay,
it's like,
Dad.
Hey, I need you to pause the game and look at me in my eyeballs. It is bedtime in 5 minutes. So when I come back in 5 minutes, don't be surprised.
It was a rookie move on my part. I knew better. And I
you know what? We all have to go through it.
Yeah.
You got to go through it. It's a proving ground as a dad.
I want to say I'm sorry. First and foremost to my son, Gavin.
I'd like to apologize to my son, Gavin.
It was wrong of me to cut the game off. Even though it was bedtime, it was wrong of me to cut the game off right in the middle of our having fun. If you could have seen the way his belly was laughing, like he was laughing like where I knew his little stomach was hurting.
Yeah.
He was having so much fun.
That's such a good picture of us, though. Like, he wasn't having so much fun because of the game. He was having that fun because he was
playing it together. Yep.
Man, that's how we ought to feel about spending time with Jesus. Feel about spending time with God, our Heavenly Father. Please, 5 more minutes.
100%.
I just want to pray for 5 more minutes. I want to be in church for 5 more minutes.
I agree with that. Like, imagine, like, there are people, and I've never seen this here at Clearview, but I have seen it at other churches where people are, like, looking at their watch, and if that pastor goes beyond, like, noon, they will get up and walk out.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you are going over my time now. And I was like, man, imagine the culture shift if we thought about church that way. Like, please, can we not go? Can we just hear a little bit more about Jesus?
Just 5 more minutes.
And I think that's one of the, and maybe Dr. Shaw can weigh on this when he gets back from traveling, but I think that's one of the big downsides of being raised in the South is we're so overset. Let me phrase this carefully. We are not oversaturated with Jesus, but it's so common to us. You know what I mean? It loses its good news.
That's a good way to put that. It's common to us.
Yeah, it's very common.
Yeah.
Jesus is very common. Well, Dr. Shaw isn't here.
He isn't here.
He is still traveling. If you missed yesterday's episode, don't worry. Nothing's wrong with him. I usually do my little introduction. But all that stuff is still true, but he's not here. He's traveling.
Right.
We're going to let you know in the next week or so when he comes back where he's traveling to, because it's actually a really, really cool
story.
I'll
tell you this. It is cute.
It's cute?
The place he's traveling to, it's cute.
I don't know if I'd say all that.
Yeah, it's cutesy.
All right, sure, yeah. It's cutesy.
Sure.
Shout out to, I'm not even going to shout it out. We're just going to wait till he comes back, and then we'll tell you why he's traveling. But don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back. Hey, Clearview Today family, thank you so much for tuning into the show. We're having a great time so far. Listen, if this show has been a source of encouragement and insight for you, we want to take a second and just ask you to consider supporting us financially. I know that might ruffle feathers a little bit, but think about it. You're listening to this show seemingly because you care about spreading the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to the world. Well, your giving allows us to continue sharing that message with other listeners just like you.
Your support is more than just encouragement to us. When you give, you're becoming our partner. You're joining with us to spread God's truth and love to a hurting world. And your gift is a reflection of your faith. And believe it or not, it's going to make an eternal impact in someone's life.
That's right. And giving to the show is insanely easy. All you do is visit our website, clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can click on that little button that says Give Today. We're so encouraged by everyone who's already giving to the show. And if today's your first time listening, we want to let you know that we appreciate your partnership, and we pray that God blesses you abundantly for your commitment to His work. All right, let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
In Dr. Shah's absence, we've been going through his book, 30 Days of Praying for America, Daily Devotions to Heal Our Nation. This book has 30 nonstop devotionals for you and for your family to fall in love with America again. Now, why exactly are we going through this book this week when he's gone? Well, you'll find that out in just a couple of days.
But bop, 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 the devotions don't stop.
That was pretty good. Wanted to talk about something that we found in this book. You know, yesterday we talked about righteousness exalting a nation. If you didn't listen to that episode, go back and listen to it, because I think it kind of leans into what we're talking about here. Righteousness comes with godly leadership. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things we're really looking forward to the next 4 years is getting back to a place where we can say, okay, we may have gone off the deep end. America has gone off the deep end several times in the past, but God has always brought us back. And I think what we've seen, and I think what a lot of people are seeing right now, especially young men are seeing, is that there is tyranny. Yeah. And tyranny does not look the way it does. The tyranny now does not look the way we expect it to look.
No.
I think tyranny, and I think of like what happened in like 20th century Europe. I think of what happened right. back in
with a tyrant.
With a tyrant. Yeah. With like a deliciously evil, obvious, like evil emperor, like an evil emperor Palpatine, or mm-hmm. like a king, that Disney movie. I can't think about it.
I'm trying to follow you.
Whatever. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. That's what we expect a tyrant to look like. We don't expect a tyrant. We don't expect tyrants to look the way that they do in America today. And yet there are people in power right now who are actively trying to destroy this book, who are actively trying to destroy our biblical foundations.
Yeah. I think tyrants today are a lot more insidious mm-hmm. because they paint themselves as heroes. Mm-hmm. That's usually the most catastrophic and the most despotic of tyrannical leaders mm-hmm. is the ones who paint themselves as the saviors. Mm-hmm. So you have people who are, you know, I'm the champion of the people and I want to take care of everybody and I want to legalize this for you and I want to, you know, have your back. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you take a look at these people and their policies and you take a look at what they're actually accomplishing, it's self-serving. Mm-hmm. It's padding their pockets. It's making their lives easier at the expense of other people. And that's tyrannical. That's tyranny.
And I don't think this side of heaven, this side of eternity, we're ever going to get rid of people who lust for power. I think it's been there since the very beginning. You know, the history of the world shows that every single generation, there are people who are going to lust from power. And it goes all the way back to like the Tower of Babel. One of the things I liked about Dr. Shah's series on the Tower of Babel, we did a series called Table of Nations in 2023, I want to say.
I believe so.
It was one of those years. But, I didn't realize the Tower of Babel has a villain.
Yeah.
You don't think
there is
that.
A bad guy.
There's a bad guy. Like you always think about the Tower of Babel. That story is like everybody comes together, build that tower in their hubris.
You think it's just like, humanity.
Yeah,
right?
Just
no,
humans.
There's a bad guy.
There's a bad guy. There was a man named Nimrod and he rose to power. He's like this hunter, right? And he didn't hunt animals. He actually hunted men. And his whole goal was to gain political influence, gain political power in order to turn people away from God. Mm-hmm. You know, and so God had to come down and scatter the humanity so it wouldn't be enslaved to Nimrod. And we often think it's like, oh, well, humanity in their base wickedness, right? Their base instincts, their animal instincts wanted to build up this tower for themselves. And part of that is probably true.
Yeah.
But we don't think about the fact that there was a ringleader who was facilitating that entire episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nimrod is one of a long line of people who claim to be demigods. I mean, you have rulers throughout history. In fact, Dr. Shaw in 30 Days of Praying for America talks about a guy, Bill Federer, who wrote a book, Who is the King in America? There's a long list of rulers who have actually claimed to be demigods. Yeah. So these are men. These are mortal beings who have kind of elevated themselves to a semi-divine status. So you have King Gilgamesh of Uruk, Babylonian and Assyrian king priests, Egyptian pharaohs claim to be sons of the god Osiris, Persian kings with a special relationship with the divine, Chinese emperors with a mandate from heaven, Roman emperors as deified Caesars. They were worshipped as gods themselves. Indian kings as a semi-divine caste, Incas as delegates of the sun god, Japanese emperors as descendants of the Shinto god Amaterasu, caliphs as the descendants of the messenger god Allah, and on and on and on. You got people who are elevate themselves to power, and then they seek to go even further and be like, actually, I'm deserving of your worship.
And you know, that's the point where you want to say, but that never happens in the Bible. But unfortunately, if you read the Old Testament, even Saul, David, Solomon, at time they did become despots, and Samuel warned about that. That was one of the things that I've really and this is kind of a side note, but I've really fallen in love with the book of Samuel. Yep. Samuel is one of the coolest books in the Old Testament. I will fight anybody who disagrees. And I don't mean like debate them on there. I'm talking about like
a fist fight.
We're going to take that to the slab. Sure. Yeah, we got to take that down to the slab.
It is a very cool book.
It's a great, great book. And I'm really interested in this. Dr. Sean and I have talked about this a lot, how humanity attains power, how they attain influence. I'm not talking about just like one man, but like groups, organizations. This idea of empire. You know, and people think that, like, why doesn't America ever become an empire? Of all the nations in the world who could do it, who could seize absolute power, America doesn't. Mm-hmm. Why is that? There has to be some reason that America has held on to its ideals for all this long. Mm-hmm. But that reason can't be the Bible. You know what I mean?
No, couldn't be the Bible.
It can't be. It just can't be. There's got to be something else.
When our founding fathers were aware of this threat of tyranny. I mean, obviously, that coming from England, they know the threat of a monarch in power. So they break the government into three branches: the executive, legislative, and judiciary branches.
I was talking I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was talking to someone about this yesterday. We were talking about Les Mis. Oh, I think it was us.
Yeah,
we were talking about Les Mis, and I was like,
Which
French Revolution was it? And it was kind of funny because I watched these history videos online. Oversimplified is a really, really funny channel. If you have never seen it, it's great, great little history cartoons. But I was like, which French Revolution was it? And I can't remember who. It might have been Katie or somebody. They were like, there's more than one. I was like, oh yeah, dude, like France. They had a king, overthrew the king in a revolution.
Yep.
The revolutionaries were way worse and way more dictatorial than the king.
Yep.
So they got rid of the revolutionaries, put a king back in. Napoleon came in and said, hey, I don't like that. Get the king out of here. People were like, oh, Napoleon, thanks. He was like, guess what, guys? I'm the king. And then they got rid of him.
Yep.
And I think they finally had another revolution. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, it just keeps happening. It's a pattern where one man or one small group of people come back and just accrue power for themselves. And like you said, the founding fathers were not blind to that.
Yeah. So it's different in America because you have the Constitution, you have the Bill of Rights, you have the power given to the people to elect representatives. And that's different than you find in other nations. And I think that has kept America from falling into that path of tyranny.
Yeah, I agree.
Although there are people with a tyrannical bent who have risen to power in America.
I agree. I'm going to take us off topic for just 1 second because I am going to come back.
I'm afraid when you do that.
I promise you, we're going to come back to tyranny. I got a text from our engineer, David Williamson, David Clovis Williams.
Sure.
Vis-a-vis the dorkiest guy in the room.
Wow.
He said, I disagree. No way is the book of Samuel cooler than Ecclesiastes or Proverbs.
Ecclesiastes Proverbs? Is a cool book.
Proverbs is cool. Like, don't get me wrong. Proverbs is cool. It's good wisdom, but it's not cool.
I like Ecclesiastes better than Proverbs. Ecclesiastes,
but you don't like Ecclesiastes better than Samuel. First Samuel. I
will need to read First Samuel again in order to make that judgment call. My favorite in the Old Testament is the book of Judges.
That's fine. Well, Judges are cool.
Judges is my
Judges
favorite.
Judges are cool, but I would argue. I would say that Judges goes well with my argument because Judges and Samuel are kind of the same.
They do hand in hand.
They're the same thing.
Yeah.
Like Judges is just,
it's Samuel, just a continuation of the story.
Samuel is Judges 2.
Yeah.
The Reckoning.
Yeah. Judges 2.
Now, I've not got a good Old Testament credibility saying that Jonah was the slickest Bible character, but I defy anybody to argue with me that Ecclesiastes is cooler than the book of Samuel. Ecclesiastes?
I need to read 1 Samuel again make that shit. It's often Judges and Joshua that are fighting for first place for me.
So here's the big question. Kings, absolute rulers, are just intrinsically bad, right? But Jesus is our king.
Right.
They're not absolutely bad.
Right.
You know, it's not that
and not every, I mean, we talk about kings in the Bible. Not every king in the Bible was bad.
No,
there
not
were
at
some,
all.
There were some that were good, godly men.
There were good,
but there
godly
were some
kings
that were not, and some that were really bad.
One of the things I would like to run by Dr. Shaw when he gets back is, why doesn't America have a king? You know, if God set up a king for his people, why not set one up in
America? Why wasn't that the model?
And
here?
I don't have an answer for that. I think that's something that we can talk about when Dr. Shug gets back, because a lot of the things that I think about power and about government and about delegation and about all these different methods of leadership, all of them valid, all of them have their place. But why does God choose some for some nations and for some times and choose others for others?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's one of the things that, you know, we talk about a lot on this show, but it's also a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very real thing that we have to deal with, this quest for influence and this quest for power.
Yeah.
And I think there's some who would levy that back at Christians and say, you know, Christians are all you want is power. All you want is influence in the government. You just want people to think the way that you do. But I mean, think about that. Like, I want people to think the way that we do because we're trying to save you from something we are very convinced is real.
Right.
Like hell being a real place. This is not a battle of ideologies. This is a battle of eternity.
Well, everywhere that Christianity has gone throughout history, it has improved the situation of people.
Right.
Yes, you can point out the Crusades, and yes, that was a bad time. Let's not use extremes as the examples. But you look at Christianity throughout the years, and everywhere that it has gone, it has elevated women.
Mm-hmm.
It has protected minorities. It has protected people. And, you know, Christians get a bad rap a lot of times, but I think that it's high time that Christians go out and vote biblical values, make our voices heard, because that's how we can truly affect change in the world around us. If we look at our leaders and we say, hey, these people are tyrants, these people aren't representing us, well, guess what? As the American people, we have the power to change that.
That's right.
We, the people, I mean, the power has been given to us by the founding fathers, by the Constitution. We need to go out and exercise the right to vote and vote biblical values and vote the people in office who are going to uphold those values.
That's right. There's a growing movement in conservative politics today to get more pastors involved in local levels of government and local levels of what am I trying to say? Not government, but
government legislation,
exactly.
City governance, things like that.
Yes.
I mean, there is a movement to get pastors on committees and on boards like that to make a difference in the community.
Because when you don't have someone who's coming from that Christian background, you may have someone who's coming from a Christian background, but without being in the pulpit week to week to week, you know, it's a lot easier, I think, to give in. How badly or how easily you can give up on your convictions, or at least just be silent on them when you're not a public face at all times. So we're not saying that like non-pastoring Christians aren't fit to run in government. We're not saying that. What we're saying is it's good for pastors to be able to do this.
Yes.
Because there's a higher level of accountability, you know, especially when you have public office, you're coming from a Christian worldview, then man, you start to see people different. You start to see the people that you quote unquote rule over or you govern over as people who are lost and dying and going to hell.
Yeah.
You start to see them as people that you're serving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times that's lost in politics.
Yeah.
I cannot look at any of the people in the Biden administration, any of the people in high up government right now and say, truly, I think that person really wants to serve me. I think that person really cares about me and my welfare and my well-being. I just don't see it. And so I think that's why we're seeing this big push to get Christians back into the public square.
And you know, for me, before working with Dr. Shaw, before being exposed to things like this, I didn't know and or care much about politics and about the political world. But the older I've gotten and the more that I've worked with Dr. Shaw and the more that he, like learning from him, the more that I've learned these things, you can't afford to, number one, not care.
Yeah.
You can't afford to just allow yourself to be ignorant. You've got to educate yourself. You've got to understand what is happening in the world around you. And the burden is on us to vote people in the office that will make the world a better place for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world that we grew up in does not have to be the world that our kids grow up in. And that hinges on the way that we vote.
That's right.
And you, listeners and viewers, it hinges on the way that you vote and the way that you're involved in politics as well.
That's right.
I love this quote that Dr. Shaw ends the chapter with.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last paragraph in this chapter on tyranny in 30 Days of Praying for America, which if you guys have not gotten this book yet, I don't know what you're doing with your life. I don't know what's in your Amazon
cart.
It's
on Amazon, man. We got
the link
in the description.
Your Amazon cart. Go ahead.
I don't know why you
drop this in there.
Trying to be cute.
It's going to be a blessing to you as you know, do your devotions.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last paragraph in this chapter, but at the end of the day, There is only one true king.
That's right.
He doesn't seek to subjugate you. He seeks to set you free. His name is Jesus. Unlike earthly kings or rulers, he does not force his authority on you, but make no mistake, every knee will bow to the reign of Jesus, either willingly or unwillingly. Is King Jesus the ruler of your life and your heart?
That's the question, man. Is King Jesus truly the ruler of your life and of your heart? And I love where the way Dr. Shaw says it too. You have to ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and take over. Mm. Means that you're going to live the rest of your life by his rule as he helps you to do it. And I think that has really shaped the way that I think about the Christian life.
Yeah.
It's not just subjugation because you're in control and I'm not. It's subjugation because God, you are God. You know what is best for my life. You have a plan for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. You have a plan for my life to do good by me. It's not just, okay, because we think about like kings, we think about rulers. It's like, okay, I want to do whatever I can to get in power. I'm going to serve you as best I can so that you keep me in power. God is like, there's nothing you can do to ever dethrone me. There's right. nothing you can do. I don't have to make you happy so that I can retain my authority and I will have it for all of eternity, but I love you. It's a true, genuine love. And I love what Psalm 33 and verse 12 says. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, his people he has chosen. Think about that. God has chosen this people as his own inheritance. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to do that. He does not have to keep us happy so that he stays in power. He is in power for all of eternity. And yet, because of his love for us, he not only plans out our lives. What does it Jeremiah say? I know the plans I have for you.
Yeah.
Give you a hope and a future. There's no other king, there's no other ruler on earth who will ever do that for you. Only Jesus will do it. And I love that it is Jesus. Revelation 19 says that. It says he had on his robe and his thigh a name that's written. You know what it says? It says he's the King of Kings.
Mm.
Are you serious? Right at the big money moment. I'm going to keep going. He says he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. That's his authority.
That's
and
right.
So that's his love for us. And so our challenge to you guys is, as we're going through this book together, pray for our nation. Mm-hmm. Be aware of the effort to eradicate Christianity from our nation and our public square, and be praying against it.
Yeah. And know that you're going to serve something or someone. I mean, there is going to be someone in authority and power
right.
over you. That's 100%. So let that be the one who cares about you, the one who loves you, and the one who has a plan for your life.
That's right. That's right.
Guys, make sure to join us next week. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Make sure to join us on Monday, same time, same station. We're going to be diving into another great topic right here on the Clearview Today Show. And hey, if you're local to the Henderson, North Carolina area, we'd love to see you for worship. If you don't have a church family to worship with, we'd love for you to come worship with us at Clearview Church this
That's right.
weekend.
That's right.
We've got services coming up at 6:30 on Saturday night, and then two Sunday morning, one at 8:30, one at 11 o'clock, with Sunday school at 9:45 and classes for kids during each one of those hours. So we'd love to see you and your family there. Thanks again to our sponsors for sponsoring today's episode. And don't forget that you can support us by subscribing to the show on iTunes if you want to re-listen. And you can always support us financially at clearviewtodayshow.com. John, what do you want to leave our listeners with this weekend?
Well, so we definitely have been talking a lot about 30 Days of Praying for America, but did you know that's book three? Count them, one, two, and three.
A trilogy.
It's a trilogy. We're working on a quadrilogy right now. I don't know if I can reveal the title just yet, but maybe we'll reveal it in the coming weeks.
30 days.
Yeah, 30 days. But anyway, 30 Days Through a Crisis is book number one. 30 Days to a New Beginning is book number two. And of course, 30 Days Praying for America is book number three. You can get all of those books on Amazon right this exact moment. You can also be looking out for some new original music coming out of Clearview Worship right here on the Clearview Today Show. We're going to be talking about that a little bit. New music in the pipeline. But you can always get our EP, Together Forward, and our debut album, Heaven Here and Now. Both are available on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere digital music is streamed or sold.
That's right. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Can find a church family to worship with. We'll see you bright and early Monday morning. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.